Okay. Good morning, everyone. My name is Arun Jani, and I'm a PhD student in the agronomy department at the University of Florida. And today I'd like to discuss some of the preliminary data that we have regarding nitrogen contributions from late summer planted leguminous cover crops to winter wheat in a conservation tillage cropping system. And in the southeastern United States, due to our favorable climate in terms of summer rainfall and high temperatures, summer leguminous cash crops do very well. And one of their primary benefits is obviously nutrient cycling. And most of this entails biological nitrogen fixation, where cover crops like sun hemp have been shown to accumulate 160 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare when planted as full season cover crops. But apart from the nutrient cycling, we also have other benefits, including weed management. And this can take on a variety of functions. It could be as a weed suppressing mulch in the case of sun hemp or mucuna, or we also have allelopathic properties of sun hemp and some of these other species. And we also have another benefit in the sense that root knot nematodes, which are a very big problem in cotton and peanut production, are also suppressed by some of the mulch from these species as well. And in the case of sun hemp in particular, they can be very beneficial in biological diversity, specifically attracting pollinators. But one of the major challenges we face in the southeast is integrating summer legume cover crops into our cropping systems, because if we were to plant full season leguminous cover crops planted in April through September, then they directly compete with some of the cash crops in the region. So we can look at this simplified growing calendar we have right here, and we can see that peanut and cotton, which are our staples, generally occupy from May through October, and even alternative introduced cash crops like sesame occupy that same period. And then if we look at some of our other cereals like maize and sorghum, we plant them a bit earlier, but they still would prevent planting full season leguminous cover crops. So those are some of the challenges we face, but one of the opportunities that we have specifically in this region is our high heat units heading well into the fall. So one opportunity is to plant these leguminous cover crops late in the summer in maize or sorghum cropping systems. So after we've harvested maize or sorghum in late July or early August, we can potentially direct seed some of these species into the soil to replenish soil nitrogen supplies depleted by the cereals and also add into some of those other ecosystem services I just described. And this is a summary of just some previous research from the Deep South, from Alabama, Florida, and then in South Carolina, in which I've just summarized previous studies that have shown with sun hemp and in one study with cowpea that when we plant these species from late July through mid-August, we're able to accumulate 93 to 145 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare, which is quite a bit, especially if we've preceded that by corn, which depleted the soil of nitrogen. So there is hope for planting short duration leguminous cover crops planted after corn or sorghum. So with that being said, our major research objectives in this project were to assess biomass and nitrogen accumulation of sun hemp and cowpea planted after maize at two distinct growing locations in North Florida, and to quantify the nitrogen contribution from sun hemp and cowpea to a subsequent winter wheat crop under conservation tillage. So our two study sites we've highlighted here with the two stars, and the first study site was in Citra, Florida, which is just south of the University of Florida. And at that location, we're operating on a sandy soil, 98% sand, so it almost looks like you're at the beach. And very low organic matter, less than 1%, low nutrient holding capacity. And then about 400 to 450 kilometers away, we have the other site, which is near the Alabama border, and that's Jay, Florida. And that location is a bit more temperate in climate. The planting dates are 10 to 14 days later than they are in Citra. And the soil is a bit more fertile. We have a higher nutrient holding capacity. We worked on a sandy loam at that site as well. So the basic cropping sequence for this experiment, as I mentioned, is maize followed by a late season cover crop, then followed by wheat. And we use a split plot design, and the whole plot factor was cover crop, and we use cowpea, the iron clay variety, which is a household name in the region, probably the most widely grown cowpea as a cover crop. We use the AU golden version of sun hemp, which holds particular promise. That was developed, I think, 5 or 6 years ago at Auburn. And up until that point, the sun hemp had all been imported mostly from India or South Africa, and that incurred a very high cost for producers to use sun hemp. So the hope is that if AU Golden can take off, and the results are promising so far, that could create seed-producing industry in the region and can also increase the popularity of growing sun hemp. So then our third whole plot factor was a fallow treatment. So that basically entailed planting nothing after the corn and just leaving it fallow, as you can see in the picture here. Then our split plot factor was a mineral nitrogen application on the winter wheat crop that was planted after the cover crop treatments. And we had four levels of that factor, so 0, 34, 67, and 101 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. For those treatments that received nitrogen, we had application in the fall of 25 kilograms per hectare, and then the rest in early spring as a top dressing. So then the data collected in the experiment consisted really of two parts. We collected plant data and then we collected soil data. So the plant data was mostly related to the cover crop biomass and nitrogen accumulation, estimated after 30 days. So planting in mid-August and then planting toward the end of, or then terminating toward the end of October, and determining nitrogen content through combustion. And then we also measured soil inorganic nitrogen using plant root simulator probes, which were produced by a company in Canada, Western Ag Innovations. And those basically simulate the root system of an early wheat crop. So those were put in at wheat planting and left in the ground for 2 weeks. And then we also measured total soil inorganic N at 0 to 15 centimeters, 15 to 30, 30 to 60, and 60 to 100 centimeters. And that was done using Giddings equipment, a soil probe. And you can see the profile here in the citrus site, where at the top the sandy soil is, even being sandy, is a bit darker than when you get below to 60 to 100. And then to assess the wheat performance, we took spectral indices, primarily NDVI, normalized difference vegetative index. And NDVI is measured on a scale of 0 to 1, and the higher values basically indicate a healthier crop, so higher greenness. So it can be used as a proxy for nitrogen health in the plant. And then at wheat harvest, of course, we looked at grain yield parameter data. We looked at wheat biomass accumulation. And all of this data was analyzed using our statistical software packages. And we used Tukey's HSD at an alpha of 0.05 to look at our multiple comparisons. Then SigmaPlot was used to perform a nonlinear regression to estimate the nitrogen credit from the cover crops to the wheat. And this is just a pictorial of our basic cropping sequence. So we had the maize harvested, and then we followed up that with our sun hemp that was planted for 60 days. So this picture is 50 days after planting. Then here we have a picture on the lower left of planting the wheat into a terminated cowpea plot. And then, of course, couple weeks before wheat harvest on the bottom right. Then these are some of the results. So the citra location, cowpea and sun hemp accumulated similar amounts of nitrogen, 79 to 82 kilograms of N per hectare. And in J, that quantity was a little bit higher on that more fertile soil, 100 to 128 kilograms per hectare. But the primary finding on this slide relates to the NDVI date. And as you remember, I mentioned NDVI can tell us about the nitrogen health in the crops. So if we look at the zero nitrogen treatments at the top three figures, that's the citrus site, we see that cowpea and sun hemp had, for the controls, for the zero nitrogen, so on the bottom where the arrows are pointing to, we see higher values for cowpea and sun hemp compared to the fallow. So we do see some indication of a nitrogen contribution to the winter wheat. And that happened through the FEEX-5 growth stage, and after that we didn't see effects. And then at the bottom site in J, we didn't see any effects, and a lot of that related to, we had early equipment errors at the site, which delayed planting of the wheat by 5 weeks. So we, in all likelihood, lost that nitrogen credit, even though the soil was higher in clay, higher nutrient holding content. We likely still lost that credit in J. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. And then our root simulator probes, again, these simulate early season nitrogen to the wheat. And we didn't see any statistical differences between or within a site between cover crops, but again, we did see differences between Citra and Jay. The long delay in planting the wheat in Jay, even though the soil was more fertile, led to lower nitrate levels. And these are measured in micrograms per 150 cubic centimeters of nitrate. And then if we looked at the soil, inorganic nitrogen times depth, interactive dynamics, we saw that in Citra we did have an interaction between soil inorganic nitrogen and depth. We saw that Sun Hemp had the highest quantity of soil inorganic, total soil inorganic N within the top 15 centimeters of soil. And fallow was significantly lower than Sun Hemp. Cowpea wasn't any different than fallow, however. And then in Jay, as expected, because of the delay in planting, we lost that nitrogen credit. And we did, of course, expectedly see a difference with depth. So the top 30 centimeters of the soil had higher nitrogen than that below it, which isn't all that surprising. And then for the most exciting part, looking at the cover crop nitrogen credit to the wheat, we're only presenting data here from Citra. We don't have it from Jay yet, but from the Citra location, again, which is on the sandier 98% sand soil, low fertility soil, we found that a power function, which we've shown here, was the best fit to model yield response. And we found that, with that being said, cowpea and sun hemp, they only contributed between 9 to 14 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare, sun hemp contributing a bit more at 14. So not a large nitrogen credit provided on this sandy soil, even though the wheat was planted 1 week after terminating the cover crop. Then our general conclusions. What we did find is that cowpea and sun hemp both are able to grow very successfully when planted in late summer. These species were planted August 21st in Citra, then on September 1st in Jay, which was later than we wanted. But we still were able to accumulate up to 128 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. The biomass, which I didn't report, was around 4 megagrams per hectare at both sites. Didn't differ very much. What we did find also is that nitrogen mineralization is so rapid in these soils and in this subtropical climate that it's really difficult and challenging to get that nitrogen credit. So it's really important to plant the wheat soon. The NDVI values were really good as indicators of early crop nutrition in terms of nitrogen uptake, and our nitrogen credits of 9 to 15 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare were low on this Citra soil, but we're hoping they'll be higher this season on the Jay soil with earlier planting of wheat. And finally, if these legume cover crops are going to be used, thought of solely as a nitrogen source, then it might not be economical for farmers to use them considering the small quantity of nitrogen they furnish to the wheat. And you can only imagine if you were waiting till spring to plant corn or cotton or something, you'd expect even a lower nitrogen credit. But with that being said, it's really important to spend some time looking at some of the other ecosystem services provided by these species. We are measuring particulate organic matter, POM, better known as POM, on some of these soils following the cover crops, which will give us a short-term indicator of soil health. And it would really be beneficial to look at some other ecosystem services and look at provisioning beyond nitrogen for these species. So with that being said, I'd be happy to answer any questions, and I'm very happy with our contributors, the University of Florida, the Citra, and the Jay locations. Thanks.
Questions?
David? Yeah.
How significant the difference is in that kind of cost and how that might, you know, thinking about how that might influence the choices with respect to the not only the nitrogen credits but also the ecosystem.
Yeah, well, and the issue right now with the sun hemp is just the production costs are double that for cowpea. The cowpea actually is relatively affordable compared to the obviously compared to sun hemp, and some of these other exotic species like mucuna are completely unaffordable.